Let me welcome you this evening to our evening gospel service here in Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church. Pray the Lord will bless us as we meet around his word, if you're tuning in. And pray the Lord will even speak to you even through the online ministry. Our Bible reading is found in Mark's Gospel and the chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. We'll commence at the opening verse. And straightway in the morning the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes of the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answered, said unto him, "Thou sayest it." The chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Pilate asked him again, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? Behold how many things they witness against thee." But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marvelled. Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. There was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews?" For he knew the chief priests had delivered him for envy. The chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. Pilate answered and said unto them, "What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said unto them, "Why? What evil hath he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." And so Pilate, willing to contend the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Amen. The Lord will bless the public reading of his precious word. Let's just seek the Lord in a moment's prayer and ask for his blessing. Our loving Father in heaven, we do thank you for the reading of thy precious word. We thank you, Lord, that we can stand here freely and open up this precious book and read from it. Father, even this evening hour as we come to consider this passage of thy precious word and preach upon this man Barabbas, we ask, O God, that thou will have a word in season for our hearts. We thank you for the open door and the opportunity to preach the good news of the gospel. It truly is good news. It's good news for a lost world. And as we look around the world, we realise the wickedness that abounds on every hand and how that man is searching for true contentment. He's searching for a true life, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ has said that I am come that you might have life and have it more abundant. Abundant life in Christ. And even this evening as we come to preach upon this passage, we pray, O God, you'll draw near. And you will bring forth the good news of the gospel to the ears of those who are listening. And thou will implant it up in their hearts that they will come to trust Christ as their Saviour. Lord, we pray you'll bless the work here in Londonderry. Undertake for every aspect of the work. Remember those who are tuning into our meeting tonight, Lord, unable to be out even at this time. You're still shielding from the lockdown period and the virus. So I ask, oh God, you'll draw near, you'll touch them in body. Raise them up to that better measure in health and strength. Bless all associated with the church here. And pray, Lord, that it will be a fruitful ministry even here, Lord. The church will see growth and many precious souls won for the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for every faithful witness of thine this evening. We thank you that many churches in this land and further afield, the gospel will be faithfully preached from their pulpits. And Lord, we rejoice in that tonight. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless thy word. And we thank you, you're still building your church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So, Father, come this evening hour. Give help in this meeting. Bless the word to all who are listening, Lord. Speak to hearts. We realize a man cannot create an anxious thought. So, Heavenly Father, we look to thee. Will thou be pleased to move by the Holy Spirit and cause conviction to fall upon the listener, that they would be brought to an end of themselves and realize the hopeless situation wherein they're found, that they cannot see of themselves, that they need Christ. We seek to preach Christ tonight. So, Father, help us to lift him up. He said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." So help us to preach Christ in all his fullness and all his glory. We pray and ask all this in Christ's precious and worthy name. Amen. Amen. The story of Barabbas being set free, even though he was guilty, gives us a wonderful picture of how the Lord Jesus Christ became substitute for sinners. Now, it may seem like a very provocative thing or strange thing to do tonight, but I want to begin by saying that I declare that I identify with this man, Barabbas, we have read about in our story this evening. People who know the Bible, those who may be raised upon his stories, or those who know full well who Barabbas was, might say, well, that's a horrible thing to say. Barabbas is remembered as a notorious sinner. And for you as a preacher to say that you identify with someone like that, it may sound shocking. But I do identify with Barabbas. I do precisely because he was a notorious sinner. His place in the story of the gospel makes me want to say in a very carefully qualified way that I am Barabbas. And I'm hoping even after this message, as we look at this story in the Gospel of Mark, that you'll be willing to say that you are Barabbas as well. Now, there's not much we know about this man Barabbas. There's very little in the scriptures. We're told about him. He's mentioned briefly in all four Gospels. There's only a brief mention. Then he disappears from the history, the pages of scripture, as quickly as he comes in. And yet from the little we know about him, let me tell you a few things that we know. The name by which we know him, that is Barabbas, was not his actual true name. The name Barabbas means son of Abbas, was a nickname. It can be translated son of the father. So we really only know him by the name of his father. This man's name, it seems, was veiled from the pages of scripture and for us. And that was perhaps because he represents the sin of every tribe and every tongue and every nation all across this world. At the time of the Lord's trial before Pilate, this man Barabbas was a prisoner of the Roman authorities. He was kept in custody nearby. Matthew's Gospel calls him a notable prisoner, which suggests he was rather well known and a significant prisoner, one that the Romans were probably very glad that they had caught and had imprisoned. John's Gospel tells us that he was a robber, which speaks of his character. But it's obvious that he's been held for more than just robbery because he was destined to be executed here. Luke's Gospel tells us that he was kept in prison for certain sedition made in the city and for murder. And the sedition or rebellion most likely was the violent zealot movement that sought to overthrow the Roman government in Jerusalem and to cast the Romans out altogether. And as we come to our passage in Mark 15, we find that he was chained together with other rebels. So it may be that there's something of a ringleader in this rebel movement. This man Barabbas then was a bad apple, as we might say, even in today's language. He was, from the standpoint of Rome, a dangerous and murderous terrorist. And he was scheduled here for execution. And given Rome's form of execution that planned for him, it's most likely it would be public crucifixion. Roman governor Pontius Pilate had given the order for at least two other crucifixions to be carried out that morning. And it may be that Barabbas was one of those to be executed. And that brings us to Mark's Gospel and the chapter 15, where the opening verses tell us something of how the Lord Jesus Christ, after having been arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, he'd been brought before the chief priests and scribes and elders to stand before the governor Pilate. They accused him before Pilate of saying that he was a king, and they requested that he be put to death. Then Pilate, as he examined him, he could find no fault in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then in verses 16 to 15, they go on to tell us Pilate's response to their request. And that is what I want us to consider this evening. The just for the unjust. The just for the unjust. I want you to notice firstly the sinner. The sinner in this story. The unjust person, in other words. Now, why did I say at the beginning of my message that I identify with such a man as Barabbas? How could anyone want to be identified with such a man as him? true that he was a sinner who deserved to be executed. He was a violent criminal. He deserved to die the horrible and shameful death of crucifixion. But by the end of that morning, he walked away a free man. And that was because someone else took his place upon the cross. And I can surely identify with that this evening. I deserve to die. I deserve to die upon that cross. I was a sinner who deserved punishment. But mercy stepped in. And I was redeemed and I was set free just like this man, Barabbas. And praise God tonight that the wonderful good news and message of the gospel is that you too can be set free like Barabbas. Now I don't know if all these things had impacted the heart of Barabbas. I don't know if he became a transformed man after this event. We don't know anything more of his story apart from what we read here. But I can tell you one or two things about my story and yours also. You and I, like Barabbas, are sinners. It may not be that we have sinned in precisely the same way as Barabbas did, but like him, we are criminals. We are criminals before a holy, just and righteous God. We are, in fact, robbers. We were created in the image of God, creations of God. We are obliged wholeheartedly to worship and faithfully obey our Creator, owing to him all that we have and all that we can do. But we have withheld from him what we owe him. We have robbed him of his glory. We have refused to acknowledge him and give him the thanks that is due him. We have taken the good things that he has graciously given to us in common grace and used them for our own sinful pleasure or for the harm of others or for the worship of other things other than him. Our acts of robbery don't just involve material things of temporal value, but rather there are things of spiritual, that of eternal value. What robbers you and I are, even tonight, truly robbers of the worst kind. And like Barabbas, we are also rebels. We have known God's commandments, but we have refused to obey them. We have repeatedly and willfully put our feet into places that he has told us not to go, and have at times defied him in our doing so. We have refused to admit to his rightful lordship over us as our Creator in the things that we do. We have arrogantly declared ourselves to be autonomous in his authority. What's more, we have expanded that rebellion past him and have even rebelled against those authority figures in our lives, those parents, those governmental figures, those civil figures, vocational. See, the Bible tells us that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, 1 Samuel 5 and 23. And this means that as rebels, we stand very guilty before a holy God. If your heart and my heart were fully exposed, what rebels they would be shown to be. You know, there was a big screen put up here behind me. And my life, when I got up even this morning to this very moment, was portrayed on that screen. And your life also, we would be ashamed. We would be ashamed of our thoughts. We would be ashamed of our deeds. The things we have thought today, the things we have done today, we would be ashamed. We would not want anyone else to know what we have thought or done. And yet a holy God sees all we do. We truly are Barabbases. And also, like Barabbas, we are murderers. It may be that we have never actually taken it in hand to literally slay anyone, but it is true that many times we've wished in our hearts that we could do so. We've even imagined in our minds how we would do it. We have hated others. We've spoken evil of them. We've sought to cut them down with our words and humiliate them. You know, Christ himself said that to be even angry with someone without a cause, or to insult them with a derisive name, or to call them foolish, is to put yourselves in danger of hellfire, even for the crime of murder. And that makes us all in some way or another, to one degree or another, murderers who stand guilty in the sight of a holy God. You know, if we looked at this man Barabbas, just all by himself, you and I might get away with thinking, you know, we're not so bad. But if you just look over the Ten Commandments of God honestly, we'd soon realise that we're every bit as sinner as he would. You know, as we think of the translation of his name, Son of Abbas, And if we take that at face value, and we think of him as being the Son of the Father, and then we are Barabbas, even in name, aren't we? We're all sons and daughters of a man named Adam. We're all under the judicial curse of sin that he brought upon the human race. We all stand guilty before God for sin, both bearing the guilt that Adam passed upon all because of his sin in the Garden of Eden, and the guilt of our own sins that we have committed since that time. You see, we're all natural born sinners. The Bible tells us that before a holy God, the wages of sin is death. We're very much like Barabbas then, in that we are worthy of death, just as he was. But you know the good news of the gospel again, as the Apostle Paul put it in Romans 5 and verse 6, "But when you are yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love toward us, and yet while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us." And so I declare that I am like Barabbas in that respect too, because the Lord Jesus Christ lovingly, graciously, obediently, willingly took my place upon the cross, and he died in my stead. He was my sinless substitute on the cross, and because of him now I walk free and I truly live. The sinner in the story. Notice secondly, the sinless Saviour. The sinless Saviour. Mark's words begin in this evening's passage by telling us about the Roman governor Pontius Pilate through the trial of our Lord. And to understand Pilate's viewpoint, you have to appreciate the conclusion that he had come to about this man named Jesus. If you were to turn to Luke 23, you'd find Pilate saying to the chief priests and the elders of the people, he said, "You've brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. Behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him, nor yet Herod. For I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him." So here was Pilate's official testimony concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He declared him to be an innocent man, not guilty of any of the things the chief priests and elders were saying that he had done. In fact, Pilate said that both he and King Herod, upon examination, found no fault in him at all. And it was Pilate's intention, therefore, to throw some bone of conciliation to these Jews and to the scribes and elders, and to chastise the Lord Jesus, and then afterwards to release him. But then a seemingly convenient way out came to Pilate. He suddenly thought, yes, there is a tradition. I know how I'll get out of this. A way of keeping some kind of peace with the Jewish community. He would, every Passover, he'd release a prisoner to them, whoever it may be that they wanted. And so Mark's gospel tells us in verses 6 to 9, "Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" This is where Mark introduces to us this man named Barabbas. And you can be sure that Pilate had no desire whatsoever to release him. He was this notorious criminal, a danger to the peaceful rule in Rome. Barabbas was the very last person that Pilate would want to set free. And so when the people began to demand of him that he do so, as he done for them, demand a prisoner as he done every Passover, he thought, here we have this man, Barabbas, this criminal, they would not want to release him. I'll put him up against the Lord Jesus Christ, the one I have called the King of the Jews, and they'll want to release Barabbas. But here we see the wonderful work of our Lord Jesus Christ as our substitute on the cross. And even as Pilate found no fault in the Lord Jesus Christ, he was innocent. He had tried him and he found him to be truly innocent. He was without sin. Yet the people did not want him. They wanted the sinner. They did not want the sinless Saviour. The whole life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, it bore testimony to the fact that he was a sinless Son of God in human flesh. He kept the law of God perfectly. The law that we broke and failed to keep, he kept it perfectly. He kept every commandment of his Father perfectly without fail. You see, if we are truly like Barabbas, then we too need such a sinless substitute to die in our place. If the wages of sin truly is death, and if someone must die in our place, then that substitute must be sinless, must be perfect. You think back to the Passover lamb in Exodus chapter 12 and how the children of Israel were to take that lamb and they were to examine it. They were to set it aside. It was to be without blemish or without spot. It was to be perfect. And here we have the Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. He must be without sin to be a sacrifice that is accepted. And praise God, the Bible tells us that the precious Lamb of God, that wonderful gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, dying on the cross. Think of the words in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. For he that is God the Father hath made him that is the Lord Jesus Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. If such a sinless substitute as Christ died on the cross in Barabbas' place, then I'm very glad to be identified with Barabbas. I want you to notice thirdly, the sovereign plan. The sovereign plan. Pilate was a very shrewd man. He knew what was going on. He had made the suggestion that the Lord Jesus be released because he knew that he had been brought to him on trumped up charges. He knew that he was innocent. In verse 10 we read, for he knew the chief priests had delivered him because of envy. And when you look at what the other Gospels tell us about this story, you'll find that Pilate did something different than he ordinarily did. Rather than allow the Jewish people to name the prisoner, the one released, he allowed the people to choose from out of two options, either Christ or Barabbas, because he thought they would pick Christ over Barabbas. What a shock it must have been here to Pilate when they cried, no, crucify him, crucify him. We want Barabbas. I'm sure Pilate's heart sank. He didn't think this was going to happen. He hadn't thought this was going to take place. This great plan he had in place. But you know, behind all this, the sovereign hand of God was at work. God the Father was putting all things in place. That wonderful plan of redemption was being set. Another step was being set in place. We think of the words of the Apostle Peter preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit to these very same people that had cried out, crucify him. Later on in Acts chapter 2, he writes these words. He says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden off. It was by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God that the priesthood demanded that Barabbas be released instead of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Christ be crucified in him place, his place. The priests were, after all, the custodians of the atoning sacrifices that were offered to God for the people. And unwittingly, by the sovereign hand of God, they were offering Jesus as a sinless Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sin of the world. It was the Lamb of God who died in Barabbas' place according to the sovereign purpose of God. What a wonderful plan of redemption we have. It is not an afterthought. You know, some people preach that the redemption and the cross was an afterthought, that the fall of man took God by surprise and he had, as it were, reached for plan B and send the Lord Jesus Christ in our place. But that is not what the scriptures teach. The plan of redemption was set in motion from all eternity, where Father and Son covenanted together to redeem a people. And here's another step in that wonderful plan of redemption. It was a sovereign plan. Notice finally the selection made. The selection made. Now all of this had taken Pilate by surprise. The other Gospels tell us that as Pilate investigated the Lord Jesus further, he becomes more and more afraid of him. One of the Gospels even tells us that Pilate's wife sends word to him while he sat in the judgment seat and said, "Have nothing to do with that just man, because I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. That man is just." Yet the crowds have been worked up in such a fury. Chief priests have come along, and the crowds, as fickle crowds will do, even those who a few days before had been praising the Lord Jesus Christ and were now demanding that he instead of Barabbas be crucified. You see, they had been expecting him to come as a military leader, a great Messiah, but they had been disappointed by their fleshly expectations. Mark goes on to tell us in verses 12 to 14, and Pilate answered and said to them, "What will you then that I shall do unto him that you call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said unto him, "Why, what evil have he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." The crowd was becoming more and more intent on committing the very crime that Barabbas, that notorious criminal, was guilty of, that of murder. Oh, how this world hates the Saviour. Oh, how this world hates the gospel. We even see that today, don't we, on our TV screens, and we see the protests on the streets, and we see churches attacked, and we see the gospel preachers persecuted, and Christians in far off land, churches burnt down, and Christ believers murdered for their faith. People hate the gospel. They hate the Christ of the gospel. And these people hated the Saviour. Apostle Peter spoke of this too, not long after the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead. He told his fellow Jewish people in Acts 3, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, have glorified his Son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." But what a wonderful thing the plan of redemption is. They asked for a murderer and killed the Prince of Life in his place. And then God victoriously raised the Prince of Life from the dead to prove that he was satisfied with the atonement he made for sinners. Peter went on to preach, to make this appeal to these same people. He said, "And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before shewed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive unto the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began." You know, a couple of thousand of these Jewish people believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and were saved that day. Many of these people who before had been crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him," now they came and they were forgiven by the same crucified and risen Lamb of God. You know, we're not told in the scriptures, but I wonder, was Barabbas in that crowd that day? I wonder, did Barabbas hear that gospel sermon preached by Peter as he spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ, risen from the dead over sin, victorious over the grave? Whatever happened to Barabbas after those events, we do not know. But we know these words from Pilate, solemn words in verse 15. "And so Pilate, willing to contend the people, released Barabbas unto them, and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him. to be crucified. You know, Pilate was a weak leader. He was ruled by fear of the people. The chief priests were envious of the Lord Jesus and sought his death. And the people were easily manipulated and made to prefer a criminal over the Son of God. And here this man, Pilate, had a fear of the people. You know, maybe tonight you have a fear. Maybe you've heard the gospel preached before. You've been convicted in your heart, but you have a fear of your family members. You have a fear of the crowd, those at work, those at school, those at college. Will you do as Pilate did? Pick Barabbas over Christ because of fear? Will you go to a lost sinner's hell because of fear? Hear the Lord Jesus Christ. He died willingly in the sinner's place. He held nothing back. He shed his precious blood that we might be forgiven. We might be given a new heart and be born again by the Spirit of God and have a new nature. Be transformed by the power of the gospel. Pilate refused. What will you do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you also reject him? What selection will you make? Will you choose your sin over the Saviour? Will you choose your love of the world over the Saviour? Will you refuse his offers of mercy that is found only in the gospel? Will you throw it back in his face and despise him as these people did and say, "Away with that man"? Or will you fall at his feet and beg for forgiveness and mercy? Praise God tonight, the good news of the gospel, that there's mercy with the Lord. You know, all stand condemned before the bar of justice tonight. There's no escape from the judge of all the earth except through the one and only substitute for sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. But won't you come tonight? Come and see yourself as a Barabbas, one who needs the Lord Jesus Christ, one who needs a substitute. Praise God. Come, repent of your sin and trust in him, and he will save your precious, never dying soul. Oh, won't you come tonight and trust in this wonderful Saviour? Let's just close in prayer. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for thy word. We thank you for the cross. Oh, what a message the gospel message is. Wonderful good news of what Christ has done on behalf of sinners. Lord, as we think upon Barabbas, we identify with such a man. We're all sinners. Each and every one of us are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the wonderful message of the cross is that we can be forgiven. We can be born again. We can be made new creatures in Christ Jesus. We pray those tuning into this message even tonight will come to know the Lord as their Saviour. Bless the word to our souls, Lord. Continue to speak on even as the voice of this preacher grows silent. We ask and pray all this in Christ's precious name. Amen.